You that don't have the Holy Ghost, right now is the best time you're going to have. Right out there in the audience. Right out there in the audience. Receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, if you won't ask me, that's the kind of praises that the Lord really appreciates. Spontaneous praises. Nobody asks you to. It's just rolling out of your heart. Praise the Lord. If you just open your mouth, it'd come out. You wouldn't have to say it. It'd just roll out. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now there's nothing more important in a camp meeting, nothing more important in a church service, nothing more important in any service you ever attend than the preaching of the Word of God. Did you hear me? I'm one that resents anybody saying, we had such a good service, the preacher didn't get to preach. I don't like that. There's been some preaching somewhere, or you wouldn't have no kind of a service. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! And you that's been here all day, I don't feel sorry for you a bit. You've got paid already for your coming. The preaching that's gone forth from this pulpit today has been some of the most outstanding I've ever heard in my life. But to so many of you here tonight that wasn't here today, I feel indebted to you. God bless you driving here, some of you for miles and miles and miles to be in this service tonight. I trust ere you leave here, you'll be saying it was good to have been at the old campground tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to get right in to the preaching of the Word. I'm reading one verse of Scripture from the first chapter of the book Deuteronomy. The first chapter of the book Deuteronomy, and I am reading verse 6. I may read a little of verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, and maybe 7. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey. That's enough. That's enough. The Lord God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn and take your journey. I'm going to preach tonight from the thought of here long enough. Here long enough. It's time to continue your journey. None of us have reached the place for which we started. None of us are there. And we've been where we are presently long enough. It's time for us to move on. Praise the Lord. Here long enough. Here long enough. God bless you. You may be seated. The mount here in this verse, called Mount Horeb, is also known to us as the Mount of God. It's also known as the Mount of Revelation. But it is better known to all Bible scholars as Mount Sinai, or as most people call it, Mount Sinai. This is the mount that's referred to in this verse. About 3 months after Israel left Egypt, they came to this mount. And I tried to figure the best way that I could just how long they stayed at Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai. They were there long enough that Moses spent 2 40-day periods up on the mount. And they had experiences at this mount that we still read about. They had some of the most outstanding experiences with God that any people ever had in the Old Testament. You notice I said in the Old Testament. We of the New Testament have the greatest experience God has ever given to man. But these people had outstanding experiences. They could have told them to their children and their children's children after them. They had so many outstanding, miraculous experiences in the presence of God until I know in reason it was hard for them to leave that mount to pursue their journey toward the promised land. And that is one reason why today that there is many, many people in Christendom that has never experienced the promise. They got a little blessing back yonder somewhere. They got a little touch of God back yonder somewhere. And they're contented to stay there. But I thank God whenever the Lord told Moses to take Israel on from Mount Sinai, they continued their journey and left the past blessings behind them. I'm going to mention some of their experiences. One is, they actually saw that mount. They saw it with their eyes. They saw lightning running up and down it like electricity. Saw it with their eyes. They saw that mountain afire, a boiling smoke coming from it like that of a furnace. They heard the voice of God speak to them, the audible voice of God speak to them from that mountain. They saw Moses come down off of that mountainside with his face shining so until they couldn't look at him. They had to veil his face to look upon him. Friends, that's some experiences. God had to be present and real for those people to enjoy such a glorious, wonderful, miraculous experience. It was here, as mentioned, they received the law. They must have stayed at Mount Sinai for at least 3 or maybe even as long as 4 months. One grand and glorious day after the other. They stood so in the presence of God until they were afraid to move. Afraid to move. They so trembled at the voice of God until they said, Moses, you speak to us. You speak to us. We're afraid to hear his voice again. You speak. Now, Israel, after all of this that you can tell your children, you can tell your posterity after them, all of this history that you've got to talk about, will you leave this place and continue your journey? Will you do it? Now, the meaning of the word Horeb, and I feel like this is one reason it was used in this verse instead of the Mount of God, or the Mount Sinai, or the Mount Revelation. The meaning of the word Horeb is dried up. Dried up. If Israel had not have obeyed God and moved on at the voice of God, they would have dried up. They would have dried up. And I'm not going to preach on church history tonight. I've got too much to preach and don't have long enough to do it. But if I wanted to preach on church history, I could go back to the days of Martin Luther and come up to this day and tell you why we've got so many dead denominations in the world today that one time had a touch of God. When Martin Luther took one step out of Catholicism, that's all he took, was one step out of Catholicism, and God set him afire, just one step out. But that's as far as they ever went, and they dried up, and they're dry tonight. After a while, somebody took another step out, and God set them afire. But they wouldn't continue their journey. They stopped, and they dried up. There's another denomination. Someone else took a step out, and they wouldn't go any further. And they dried up, and there's another. Just kept on one after the other, one after the other, until about the 19th century, and God set another people afire, set them afire. About the turn of the 19th century, about 15 years later, down here in South Louisiana, in a Bible convention, with many preachers that I can remember so well. They're just about all dead and gone now. But they met together for a convention of their own. And they dug into the precious Word of God. And they came out with baptism in Jesus' name. And they baptized one another. And they had to leave what they were with to accept and embrace this glorious truth. And the people they had to leave to preach this truth, they maintained or stayed where they were. And if I'd call their name tonight, you will know they have just become another denomination. That's all they are. No more holiness, no more dedication, no more consecration. 80% of their membership don't even have the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I'm with the people that's moving on. Praise God, we're moving on. We're moving on. I thought today in meditation how you've moved in the last
20 years to my knowledge. 20 years ago tonight, I was preaching a camp meeting in the Arkansas district. Did you ever hear of it? Yes, sir. 20 years ago tonight, I was preaching a camp meeting in the Arkansas district. Old sawdust floor, pulpit over here. Your tabernacle looked actually like a cow barn out in a pasture somewhere. It didn't look good a bit passing the highway. But oh, look what we've got tonight. Moving on, moving on. That's not just all I want to say. Praise God, we're not moving on in material things and leaving spiritual things behind. With us, the spiritual far exceeds the temporal today. Praise God, we still have the touch of God in our soul today, and I don't want to live without it. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to say this sincerely, and I want you to listen to me. There isn't one single one of you that's listening to me tonight that is 100% satisfied with your present spiritual status. There is a hunger in your heart to step up. There's a hunger there to move closer. Well, I want to tell you this. You've been here long enough. It's time for you to do it. If you're ever going to do what you've been thinking in your heart you wanted to do. And I know this. I feel it. I feel it. God gave it to me today. You have in your heart, whether you've whispered it to a living soul in the world or not, you don't feel you've reached your potential. You feel there's still something that you can reach. Taking nothing away from what you have. Taking nothing away from the Holy Ghost. Nothing away from baptism in Jesus' name. Nothing away from your holy dedicated life. But you feel there's something out here that you can still reach. If they are Takandalabu Satalahaba, Halamo Kundiliya Salabakatala Manakaliya. Well, I'm telling you folks, it's moving day. Can you be moved? Can you be moved? Can you be moved? Will you be moved? Will you ever be any closer to God than you are this present moment? Will you ever dedicate yourself more completely to God than you are tonight? Will you ever unconditionally surrender your soul, body, mind, spirit to God? Give yourself completely to Him. If so, tonight is the time to do it. You've been here long enough. Praise the Lord. Now I've just introduced my subject. I want to preach to you now. Praise the Lord. In this beautiful audience, as beautiful an audience as I recall preaching to ever. The atmosphere is so beautiful. There is people in this audience in the valley of decision. The valley of decision. That is not a bad place to be if you will make the right decision. That is a valley that all must pass through. All must pass through. Even Moses one time stood in the valley of decision. When he come to years, he had to decide for himself. Up until this time, others had made his decisions. Up until this time. When he was born his mother, his parents, made a very important decision relative to Moses. They were not going to put him to death. They put him in a little ark and pushed him out into the bulrushes. Others made his decisions. After a while, he found himself the son of Pharaoh's daughter. She made many decisions for him. But he finally reached the place in his life that no one can decide for me now. I must decide for myself. There is people in this audience tonight that's reached the valley of decision. And I do believe this and sincerely feel it. You've been there long enough. God hath given you enough time to make up your mind. And he's calling you out of that valley of decision tonight. He's calling you out of it. No one but you can walk out of it. I wish I could come back there and take you by the hand and lead you out of that valley. I know the direction to take you. I would know exactly where to lead you. I know exactly what to tell you to do. But that will not do it. You must, of your own initiative, walk out of the valley of decision. You've been there long enough. No better off. I'm preaching to some people, no better off spiritually than you were 10 years ago. No better off. Still in that valley of decision. Still there. The enemy will keep you there just as long as he can. But thank God Moses made the right decision. If I could get you to do what Moses did, you'd make the right decision. Moses took 3 glances, 3 looks down the road of life. He actually came to the forks of the road. He had to decide which one I'm going to take. He couldn't take them both. He come to where the road forked, and he had to go to the right or the left. You have come to the forks of the road tonight. Somebody in my audience has come to the forks of the road. And Moses looked down the right road to his right. His first glance, just his first glance down that road, he saw affliction with the people of God. Then he took a glance down the road to the left, and he saw the pleasures of sin. Moses, if you don't take another look, you're going to make the wrong choice. And that's why many of you have made the wrong choice. You've only took a little glance down the road of righteousness. And you saw affliction with the people of God. Then you look down the road of sin and you see the pleasures of sin. Who's going to give up the pleasures of sin for affliction with the people of God? Who in this audience is going to make the decision for God if they don't see more than that? It's the preacher's business to make you look again. And I want you to look again. And he looked the second time. And the next time he looked, he saw the reproaches of Christ. Then he looked down this road, and he saw the treasures of Egypt. Who's going to give up treasures of sin, treasures of Egypt, for affliction with the people of God and the reproaches of Christ? Oh, Moses, look again. I'm asking the audience, look one more time. And Moses took another look, and he saw the end of the road. He saw the end of the road. Oh, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He saw the wages of sin is death. He saw the reward of righteousness is God, eternal life. And he made the right choice. I wish I could get you to look three times. Brother, if you look three times, you never would get discouraged serving God again. When he looked the third time, you know what he said? Well, he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And he also saw that sin, pleasures of sin, was just for a season. I wish you could see that. That's why that man came out of the valley of decision and cast his lot. He himself refused, with nobody begging and persuading. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I wish somebody here tonight would refuse to be found in sin any longer. Come out of Egypt and accept Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here long enough. Moses, you've been there long enough. Friends, you've been here long enough. It's moving day. It's moving day. Come out of that valley of decision. And I know in reason, and I must stay time conscious. I must. I know in reason an audience this size has got some backsliders in it. Any day you preach to a Pentecostal audience this size, there's some backsliders among you. I'm going to talk straight to you backsliders, just as straight as I can. And I'm going to tell the truth from this high, exalted, sacred pulpit. I had rather meet God, a bank robber, an adulterer, a thief, a drunkard, a gambler. I'd rather meet God, a sinner, in any capacity you could place me, than to meet God, a backslider. Did you hear me? I'm preaching to people tonight. You wouldn't want to meet God guilty of driving a spike in the hands of Jesus. You wouldn't want to meet God guilty of placing a crown of thorns on his brow, holding it up above his head and pushing it down on his head, the thorns sticking in his forehead and around his head till the blood run down his face and his neck. You wouldn't want to meet God guilty of that. You wouldn't want to meet God guilty of nailing spikes in his feet. But I want to tell you this, and I want you to hear me. I'd rather meet God, one of those men that helped the nail, helped the hammer. I'd rather meet God, one of those that had that crown of thorns and pushed it down on his innocent brow. until blood flowed. I'd rather meet God that man as to meet him some of you that sit in this audience tonight. Brother Glass, what are you talking about? I'll tell you why I said that. Jesus said, after all of this was done to him, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. I know that prayer was answered. I know it was. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But I'm preaching to an audience that's well enlightened. You know what you're doing tonight. You know where you sit tonight. You know they did not know. Paul said, had they have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Brother Glass, do you mean they're saved? I didn't say that Jesus prayed, Father, save them. He prayed, Father, forgive them for this sin. They don't know what they're doing. And I know it'll not be against them when they get there. But it's going to be against you if you put my Christ to an open shame. If you crucified him the second time. If you've been buried in his lovely name. If you've been baptized of his spirit. If you've been born into his family. And then deliberately, maliciously turned your back on God. I'd rather meet the Lord, anybody else in the world, than a backslider in a Pentecostal church. Praise the Lord. Backslider, it's time for you to move. You've been there long enough. You've been out there long enough. God's calling you home tonight. Praise the Lord. Here long enough. Here long enough. Let me proceed. I know I've got some gain now. I know I have. I know this. I'm concluding 46 years of preaching. 46. Yesterday was my 69th birthday and starting a camp meeting. An old preacher like that preaching camp meetings. I sometimes wonder, what business have I got preaching a camp meeting? But the fire's still burning, friends. It's still down there. Everybody said, Brother Glass, slow down. How can you slow down? Brother Glass, don't preach too hard. You preach too hard for an old man. How can I preach any other way when the anointing hits my soul? That's all I've ever known. That's all I've ever known. Just give it your best. Praise God. And I'm doing that tonight. But I said all of that to say this. In this audience, I know. I'm not questioning. I know. In our churches, wherever you go, I find them. I don't have to ask the pastor. I don't have to ask anyone. We have a large percentage of our congregations, wherever you go, in a lukewarm state. Lukewarm. There's lukewarm people here tonight. You're not on fire and you're not cold. You're not cold. You're just warm enough to come to the camp meeting. You haven't participated too much, but thank God you're warm enough to come. You at least got ready and you came. You haven't gone back into sin. You still look like one of us. You still look like one of us on the street. I thank God for it. You'll still tell people what church you belong to. And I thank God for it. But lukewarm.
You're not cold and you're not hot. You're not cold and you're not hot. If you were hot, the superintendent wouldn't be have to beg you to be in the dormitories with the lights off at 12 o'clock. Wouldn't have to do it. You wouldn't be out here on the highways running up and down them at 2 or 3 in the morning if you were on fire. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it, friends. God bless your heart. You wouldn't do it. I sometimes wonder where you'd be sitting tonight if you wasn't lukewarm. If you wasn't lukewarm. I'm not saying all of you in the back, there isn't room up here. But if you were really on fire for God like you ought to be, you may come early enough to get a close seat. I don't like back seats. I don't care if I'm in a general convention, camp meeting, home at church, wherever I am. I want a front seat. I want up close to the front. Praise God. Praise God. You're going to have to admit this. You're not as free to worship in the back as you are at the front. You just won't do it. Some of you back there, you don't want to lift your hand and worship God like you would if you're up here. If I can worship God for you sitting on the altar, I'm going to sit on the altar. I want liberty. I want freedom. I want to be free. Free. I don't intend to be bound and cramped in the house of a living God. Friends, you've been lukewarm long enough. You've been here long enough. It's time to get on fire. And every one of us know how. Not a one of us. Not a one person here tonight. But know exactly what to do to get on fire for God. Praise the Lord. I remember one night, I saw about a half a dozen ladies around the altar. And they were talking. And you know, pastors, when they see a half a dozen people get together talking, they kind of won't know what they're talking about. And I kind of eased around. Didn't get close enough to where they would be suspicious. But I heard them. And it thrilled me. They said, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for an old-time revival. The other one said, I've been thinking of the same thing. Third one spoke up and said, I've been praying for it. And they said, let's band together tonight. And let's purpose to pray and seek God. Just a half a dozen of them. And here's a church of 500 and a half a dozen of them. Banding together. Going to get closer to God. Going to pray for revival. And I'm telling you folks the truth. It wasn't 40 days till that church was afire. Souls being saved. I'm preaching to people tonight that know how to get on fire for God. You know where the fires are burning. You know how to put fuel on the fire. You know exactly how to do it. And God's a calling you from a life of lukewarmness. You've been there long enough. You can't live on your past history. Israelites, you have an illustrious history to talk about yesterday at Mount Sinai. You've got a story to tell your children. I know they're going to sit with their mouth open and listen at you tell of what you saw and heard at Mount Sinai. But God has told you to move on, and if you don't, you're going to dry up. You're going to dry up. My dear old pastor, I really started in the church under the ministry of Brother A.T. Morgan.
the late E.T. Morgan was pastoring DeRidder when I started seeking God. But I sought the Lord 3 months before I received the Holy Ghost. In that 3 months, he resigned and left. And dear old Brother Dees, no relation to Brother C.L. Dees that I know of. But Brother Dees, it wouldn't have taken nothing from you to have been related, and you know it. Wouldn't have taken nothing from him. He was a great old warrior. And he told me that he was one time steward in a church. Now that don't mean Pentecostal church. We don't have stewards. And he said, I was a supply preacher. Said our church just had a pastor every other weekend, half time. And he said, when he wasn't there, I would do the preaching. And he said, it was my Sunday to preach and is out in the country. And he said, I went out back of the field and sought the Lord, read my Bible that Sunday afternoon, preparing to preach. And he said, I found in the Bible when people received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. And he said to himself as he was studying, I haven't spoken in tongues. And I've been saying I have the Holy Ghost. And he run references, and he found that people spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost. He said, I couldn't wait, Brother Glass, till the next Sunday for my dear pastor to get back, and I was going to show him what I found. He said, that is the longest week of waiting for my pastor to come. And said, he came. And I invited him home for dinner. I wanted to spend the afternoon with him. And he said, after dinner, we went out on the front porch. You can visualize that old country home on the front porch. And he said, we took our Bibles. And he said, I told him and I showed him. Brother, everywhere I find in this Bible where people receive the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. And he said, I haven't spoken in tongues. And I want the Holy Ghost. And he said, I love that pastor, Brother Glass. I loved him dearly. He was good to me. And he said, now, Mr. Dees, I don't want you to get off on the wrong track. That is a bunch of fanatics. He'd never heard of. Brother Dees had never heard. But he said, there is some people that practice that. But it's the trash of the earth. It's a very low-class people. They are illiterate people. And they're in error. And I want you to forget it. He said, I believe my pastor. I've never met any of them. I believed them. But he said, Brother Glass, from that day until I finally went to an altar in a Pentecostal church, I never felt one more touch of God. Not one more. He said, I so dried up in my soul, I quit going to that church. I quit. I dried up. You're either going to move on with God or you're going to dry up. You're going to dry up. I want to preach, folks. I want to preach. I really do. I'm not saying that God is not moving on some hearts of people that is not attending our church. I'm not going so far as to say they're not receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to say they aren't. I'm going to tell you this. God's going to give them time to stay where they are, and then God's going to let them know it's time to move up. And if they don't move up, they're going to dry up. And I'm not afraid of the Bible. I'm not afraid to quote the Bible. So I read it to him. This is what the Bible said about Cornelius. And I read it. A devout man. One that feared God with all his house. And gave much alms to the people. And prayed to God always. Now, I said that for him. The Lord said it for Cornelius. He didn't have the Holy Ghost, so I said it for him. A devout man, one that fears God with all his house, one that gives much alms and prays always. I said, there's your picture. He smiled. He enjoyed it. I complimented him. And I let him enjoy the compliment. I let him enjoy himself for just a few moments. Then I said, sir, I'd like to go further in that chapter with you. Would you mind? He said, not at all. And I showed him where God sent an angel to tell Cornelius to send to Joppa and find the preacher. And he'd come and tell him what he ought to do. I said, friend, do you think a man that prays always, gives much alms, fears God, and is devout, that there's yet something he ought to do? He said, is that in the Bible? I said, it's there. I read it to him. He said, then there must have been. I said, would you let me go all through this chapter with you? He said, yes, I will. And I slowly took him through it. And I said, when this chapter closes, the only difference in Cornelius, I don't say he prays anymore. I don't say he's any more devout. I don't say he gives anymore. I don't say he fears anymore. But I do say he was filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, and was baptized in Jesus' name. That's the only difference, but what a distinctive difference. Cornelius, you've been there long enough. The Bible can say some good things about you, and the Bible did say some good things about you, but you've been there long enough. It's time to move. God sent a preacher your way to tell you what to do. And if you don't move up, you're going to dry up. In my audience, I do believe it's time to move up in experience in somebody's life. In someone's life. It's time to move up. Move in that. If Cornelius hadn't moved, you'd have never heard of him. Never heard of him. You wouldn't have the tenth. That's all that tenth chapter does, is tell you about Cornelius. You never heard of him before, you've never heard of him after. Praise God. Moving day. Moving day. Paul went down to Ephesus. He found disciples. I imagine if he'd have looked very long, he'd have found some drinkers. He'd have found some smokers. He may have found some adulterers. He may have found some hard sinners. But he wasn't looking for that. He went where there were some disciples. Some disciples. Some disciples. That's somebody that's learning. Somebody that's calling themselves a follower, and they're learners of Christ. And when Paul came to these disciples, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. All right, Ephesus, you've been here long enough. You've been here long enough. It's moving day. It's time for you to move out. Paul said, how were you baptized then? Under John's baptism. And Paul didn't deny John baptized. But he did say this, John verily baptized you in water under repentance, saying, believe on him that comes after me, that is on Christ Jesus. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Ephesus, you've been here long enough. It's moving day. It's time to move. It's time to move. And they moved. They moved. The Bible said when they heard these words, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. They moved.